Back in February, astronomers discovered mysterious radio bursts from deep space that repeat regularly. Over the past 5 years, the signal comes and goes roughly every 160 days, but apparently it's not aliens. Joining us to discuss this and other stories is Ben Lewis. He's a producer and editor for Australia's Science Channel. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Zoe. Good morning, Tom.
So everyone's burning question is, how is this not aliens?
Yeah, well, this is really one of the most mysterious things that we've ever found in space. There's been lots of mysteries in space, but this one's really got people confused. So fast radio bursts are basically these incredibly fast, short-lived bursts of radiation that come from deep space. And this one in particular comes from a dwarf galaxy about 3 billion light years away. And we've sort of picked up, you know, these signals all around the world. Different radio telescopes pick them up. We've never really understood what causes them. Why are there these just incredibly intense bursts of radiation? So intense, in that fraction of a second that they exist, they release about as much energy or as much power as hundreds of millions of suns would. So extremely, extremely high energy sort of bursts. This particular one is very weird because quite often they burst once and then we never see them again and they happen completely at random. This one, this fast radio burst, seems to repeat. So for about 90 days, it sits there and it sends out repeated signals, you know, burst, 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 for about 90 days. And then for around about 60 days, around about 2 months, it goes quiet. And then it relights again, and 90 days, lots of bursts, and then for 2 months, it goes quiet. And over the last 5 years, astronomers have worked out that that is this repeating signal. Well, if it was, they made a prediction back in about June, well, around about mid to late August, it should start up again. And sure enough, this radio burst, right on cue, has started up and is starting to burst again. So this is a really big mystery, but now that we can actually work out, hey, we can predict when this one starts and when it stops, we can start delving into what exactly causes it. Is it aliens? Probably not. Is it something else? Probably. But what that something else is, we have no idea.
So, Ben, at the moment, there's no leading theories?
Well, there are a couple of thoughts. One is that it's caused by a very particular type of neutron star called a magnetar, which super cool name, by the way. If you're ever going to name your super villain something, I reckon magnetar is a good name for it. But basically, these neutron stars, which are a particular type of star, the magnetar, they've got incredibly strong magnetic fields around them. So when they release a little solar flare, kind of our sun releases solar flares all the time, but when it releases this solar flare, that solar flare crashes into its extremely strong magnetic field, and then that changes it into this burst of radiation that shoots across the universe. That's one of the best sort of, you know, thoughts, but we really don't know, because as I said before, most fast radio bursts are once off, and you can never predict where they're going to come from or when they're going to come, and they just happen once and never again. So you can't really study them. You can't track them back to the source and work out where they came from with very, you know, fine precision. Whereas now we've found this one that we can predict when it's going to burst and when it's not. We can start really homing in and working out what it is. There is it a magnetar? Because we genuinely have no idea, we have to keep our options open. Maybe it is aliens trying to send us some sort of radio signal. It's not. I mean, let's be realistic. It's not that. But maybe it is. But it's not. But maybe it is aliens trying to send us a signal. We just don't know. But it's probably going to be some sort of strange phenomenon with one of these stars. But why it starts and why it stops and why it does that so predictably, we have no idea. And that's what makes this such a cool and interesting sort of story.
Cool and interesting and also very uncomforting. And moving on, Ben, the mantis shrimp, despite only being 10 centimetres long, this shrimp is strong for its size. What has been discovered about them?
Yeah, the mantis shrimp might be one of my favorite animals under the sea. Like you said, it's tiny. It's 10 centimeters long. You know, if you got served that in a restaurant, you'd be asking for more. They're a small little animal, small little shrimp. But they are unbelievably colorful. They're really cool to look at. They've got amazing eyes. But they also throw a punch like you would not believe. I mean, you know, a human boxer would not be able to throw a punch with as much force as one of these tiny little shrimp. They can swing their fist. They actually call it a club at 23 meters a second and deliver as much force as a rifle bullet. That's how hard these tiny little crustaceans punch. But when you're punching with that sort of you know, speed and that sort of force, how does it not break their club? How do they actually survive? They can crack open other animals' shells. They can crack open the shells of mollusks, for example, with that punch. Why does it not break their club? Well, some scientists have been, you know, very curious about that, and they've started looking at the sort of structures of this club and what that club is actually made out of to work out why it doesn't fracture when they do punch something. And they've found that it's actually coated in these nanocrystals. These are absolutely microscopic, probably smaller than microscopic crystals, all over its club. And they're arranged in a very, very particular way. So when there's a small amount of force applied to it, they actually bend and give and kind of spring back like a marshmallow. But when one of these mantis shrimp really unleashes, these nanocrystals are arranged in a particular way. They're kind of like Lego blocks stacked on top of each other, so that when they have force, you know, a large amount of force applied to them, they are actually extremely strong, and they're arranged in a very strong way. So the club itself doesn't fracture, but inside those nanocrystals, the actual chemical bonds that hold that nanocrystal together break apart. They just click apart. And when you those bonds click apart, they dissipate a little bit of energy. But you multiply that by lots and lots and lots of these chemical bonds clicking apart, and you start reducing that amount of force that's going through the mantis shrimp's own club by quite a lot. Once these bonds click apart, after the punch has been applied, they just click back together. I guess they're kind of like Lego in a way. You can just sort of click the blocks apart and then click them back together, and you've still got your Lego structure. It never falls apart, but you've just sort of released all the energy by clicking and unclicking the pieces.
Now, Ben, the power of this mantis shrimp obviously is quite incredible for its size, that it is so so strong in its punch. But something that really did grab me, and I haven't watched all of the David Attenborough documentaries, but is it common for animals to punch? Is that a thing that we find in many other, at least, sea creatures?
Yes and no. It's not really common, and that's one thing that makes the mantis shrimp so amazing, that it is essentially the ocean's boxer. I'm very curious, actually, if a mantis shrimp punched a human, like if I was punched by a mantis shrimp, what would I feel? Would it actually be quite painful, or would it just be like a little sting? Because they are kind of small, but a lot of force. That's one thing I'm actually kind of really interested. No one's ever been able to answer that for me. But yeah, there are a few other animals that do sort of punch and grab and do things like that, but certainly none with the force of the mantis shrimp. There is a different one called the pistol shrimp, which creates the loudest sound in the world. It's got a massive club hand as well, but it snaps its club and creates a sound that is so loud it basically stuns all the other animals that are around it, or stuns its prey, but it doesn't punch the way the mantis shrimp does. So there are sort of similar animals out there that have these massive clubs as well, but they all use them in different ways. But yeah, that's what kind of makes the mantis shrimp kind of unique. It's the ocean's boxer. It can really you know, lay out its opponent without much effort.
Ben Lewis from Australia Science Channel speaking with us about the latest research in the science world. And finally, Ben, there's an air leak that's hit the International Space Station. Do we know where it's coming from?
Well, we were talking about mysteries before. This is yet another one. I think of places to have an air leak, the International Space Station would be pretty low on my list of places I'd be comfortable. It's really not the place you want, you know, your air to be escaping. But that's what's happening in the International Space Station right at the moment. So over the weekend, the astronauts up there actually had to close all the sections, close all the hatches of the International Space Station, and all bunk down in the Russian section of the space station for about 3 or 4 days, trying to work out where this air leak was coming from. They are losing air. They're not losing air that it's a, you know, really dangerous situation, but you don't want to lose your air on the International Space Station, so they do need to track it down. They've sectioned all the International Space Station off, trying to work out where this air leak is. Now, the last update that I had yesterday was that they have opened the hatches again, but they're still needing to investigate and try to work out where this air leak is coming from. They can't find it. The International Space Station has about as much internal area as a large aeroplane, you know, an Airbus A380 or something like that, or maybe slightly smaller than the Airbus A380. So going through that and trying to find a little crack in the fuselage and in the body of that to work out where your air is leaking from is it's quite the job. So yeah, they're still searching and no resolution yet. But the astronauts up there, they're completely safe. But yeah, they're on the hunt basically to work out how they're losing their air.
So is there a time limit in which this will become an emergency? Is there, you know, if this isn't solved within a week, then they're going to start to panic or have to find other options?
Yeah, there's no panic yet. They actually first, I was surprised slightly by this, because they actually first found this air leak back in September, so almost a year ago. they first found out, they were looking at their data and went, the International Space Station always loses a little bit of air, but because of pressurization and temperature differences and things like that. But it accelerated. They're losing more air than they normally are. They first found out that they were losing air back in about September. The thing is, they've just been so busy up there, they haven't had a chance to actually work out where the air leak is coming from. You know, they had the SpaceX capsules arriving and departing. They had astronauts coming and going. They had a huge program of spacewalks that they needed to complete. So this is literally the first time in a year they've been able to go, all right, now we should work out where we're losing our air. It's not panic stations by any means. If it gets any worse than it currently is, they'll probably start, you know, really raising the stakes and raising the priority of it. But yeah, at the moment they're trying to work out where this is and if they can patch it. The thing is, this is not the first time they've had an air leak. Every now and again, they do have air leaks. Back in 2018, there was actually a hole that was found in one of the visiting Soyuz Russian spacecraft. And that was the last sort of serious air leak that they needed to track down. But yeah, where this air leak is, this current air leak is, and what caused it, we don't know. They're still searching. But as I said, if I was an astronaut up there, I think I'd be searching pretty hard. It's not the place you sort of want an air leak. And if it does get worse, then it's going to be a much bigger problem, that's for sure.
I'm sure you'll keep us updated, Ben. Thanks for your time this morning.
It's been fun. Thank you, guys.
Ben Lewis, producer for Australia's Science Channel. You can find more about these stories and other science stories. Just type in australiascience.tv into your browser.